Hey there, podcast fam. Are you a special education teacher looking to bring more engagement into your classroom without drowning in all of the prep work? I've got something incredible to share with you. Introducing the Teach Taskbox Inspire membership. Imagine having five beautifully crafted task boxes delivered right to your inbox every month, covering everything from social studies to life skills. And the best part, no more late night prepping. Let's bring the fun back into teaching. But wait, there's another option. How about getting those same task boxes delivered right to your front door? Imagine having a fun package to open every single month. That's right, I'm saving you time by printing, laminating, and Velcroing everything already for you. You don't have to lift a finger. Plus, you get access to the digital files as well. Get ready for vibrant, durable materials and the flexibility to choose your grade band, K2, 3-5, or vocational life skills. Don't miss out. Elevate your teaching experience with a Teach Taskbox Inspire membership. Head to chalkboardsuperhero.com/membership right now. Let's make teaching fun again. Hey, special educators. Welcome to Teach Taskbox Inspire, the podcast dedicated to making your job as a special education teacher easier by making your instruction more fun for you and your students. Inside each episode, you'll learn how to get the most use out of your task boxes in the classroom. I'm your host, Lisa Holiday from Chalkboard Superhero, a veteran special education teacher passionate about empowering you with purposeful teaching strategies, helpful tips and tricks, and other classroom management tools that will help you thrive in your role. Let's get started with today's episode. Hey there, special education teachers, and welcome back to another fantastic episode of Teach Taskbox Inspire. I'm your host, Lisa Holiday, and today I want to talk to you about suggestions for different types of reinforcers. We've previously discussed what reinforcers are, and in response to numerous inquiries, I've compiled a list of specific suggestions for you. If you missed our earlier discussions, feel free to check out episode 16 to learn more about the fundamentals of reinforcers. All right, let's start with edibles, keeping in mind that they are not the initial choice and should be transitioned to secondary reinforcers as soon as possible. However, for children with severe disabilities, especially those with poor functional and social skills, edibles may be crucial for engagement and building behavioral momentum. Here are some examples. So you might try crackers ranging from saltines to whole grain varieties, maybe pieces of fruit such as apple slices or sliced up grapes or berries. Maybe you can try small individual candies like Skittles, M&Ms, or little gummy treats. You can try fish crackers, which is a huge favorite in special education. I'm not sure why. Pretzels, both traditional and gluten-free options. You can even try pieces of potato chips offering different textures and tastes. So, for example, I used to have a student who was absolutely obsessed with Skittles. After each task or activity, I would give him a quarter of the Skittle. It was given to him immediately after the task was completed. And that's right, I would cut all of his Skittles into quarters and sometimes into fifths. This student needed a lot of reinforcers in a small amount of time, but it still worked. He learned what he needed to do in order to receive his reinforcer. So for my edible reinforcers, I just get one of those, I think they're like a plastic tool compartment. I bought mine at Home Depot, and I would put all different types of edible reinforcers in there for my students. Not only do all of my students have different likes and interests regarding edibles, but this also allowed for them to choose. Say I didn't say, you know, you're going to get a Skittle after this. I would say, you're going to choose which one of these you're going to want. And so after they did, you know, problem number 5, I would say, oh, great job. Which one do you want? And maybe they're at the point where they can make a decision like that. All right, moving on to sensory items. We all know that children with autism spectrum disorders often seek out sensory input. Incorporating items that cater to these needs can really serve as powerful reinforcers. So I want you to consider the following sensory-rich options. Listen, maybe you might find spinning lights or vibrating pens with different textures. I used to find these at Christmas time. They were like little wands. You would press a button and it would spin and light up. My kids loved that. Actually, they liked putting it on their face and it would vibrate their face. Maybe a therapy ball that they can squish for that tactile stimulation or any gross motor activities. Maybe you have a cradle swing or a Lycra swing in your classroom or maybe the OT room that you can use as a reinforcer. So you do the worksheet, you get 5 minutes in the swing. Maybe giving tickles. I wouldn't suggest this at the secondary level because it can be inappropriate. But giving tickles, you know, a little playful, interactive sensory choice is really good because you're also pairing yourself with that tickle. You know, tickles or wrestling around, just horsing around, giggling, building that relationship with that student. Bear hugs for deep pressure input is also a really popular one. So, okay, we're going to do 3 problems on the worksheet and I'll give you 3 big bear hugs. And that's really easy because you don't have to take that away from them. You give them the hugs and it's over. Light up gloves for visual and tactile stimulation, or light up balls for that multi-sensory experience. So for example, I used to have a student who was visually impaired. She loved things that had like a lot of light in it. So what I would do is I would shut off the light and I would use a glove on my hand that had like glowing fingertips on them. I would wave them around her face. She loved this. It didn't take much time either. So I would give her like 20, 25 seconds of this and then move on to the next task or activity. So let's explore tangible items. Combining strong preferences for favorite TV characters or toys can create potential reinforcers for the student. So maybe sound books that have their characters on it. Maybe they super love SpongeBob. And so I find a lot of these at like TJ Maxx or stores like that that are super cheap, but they often make noise. So if it's a SpongeBob book and they just press the button, it will make their little SpongeBob noise. Maybe action figures representing those popular characters, cars and trucks. You can use puzzles with super vibrant images. They could be peg puzzles or like 100-piece puzzles. You could even use cards for games or sorting activities. I used to have a student who loved Uno, and that was his thing. He would do a math worksheet and then play a game of Uno. We also used the pause button on this because Uno takes a long time, and I couldn't do that for every single task or activity. And so I would create a pause button that would go over the Uno cards. And so we would play for 5 minutes. I'd put the pause on it. We would come back to that game after he did another task. There's also fidgets, so many fidgets that provide those hands-on sensory needs that students really want. Also, for example, I used to have a student who was in love with Hot Wheels. He would hold up these tiny cars in the air and spin the wheels over and over and over again. So if he had to do 5 problems on the worksheet, I would give him his car after each problem for about 30 seconds. This specific child needed a visual timer for that as well. So he would get his car 5 times during that one lesson, those 5 problems on that worksheet. All right, lastly, I want to jump into technology. So this is a big one. Many children with disabilities are drawn to the idea of earning time on digital devices. While this can be a powerful reinforcer, it's essential to set limits, especially within a school setting. Here are some examples. So maybe some computer time for educational games or interactive learning. So they'll go over, they'll do their math, and then I'll say, okay, 5 more minutes on abcya.com. You know what I mean? So maybe there's a tablet time with age-appropriate apps only. Maybe they're secondary students and they have limited cell phone use for specific things. So maybe they have access to social media and you can say, okay, do your worksheet and you can have 5 minutes of cell phone time. You can also use an iPod with a curated playlist or that has educational content, audiobooks, or something like that that they really want to listen to. So, for example, I used to have a student who had only really one reinforcer that worked, that he worked for, and that was Phineas and Ferb episode on his iPad. So just like the other students, I would keep the iPad behind me. He would do one task and I would immediately reward him with 25 seconds of Phineas and Ferb. And then I would take it back and he would do another task or activity once it was done. And I know some of your guys are thinking like, no way would my student be okay with just watching 25 seconds. You kind of have to gauge the student. And he didn't care if it was 5 minutes, 25 minutes, 15 seconds. The student didn't really care as long as he got some of that, you know, like a hit of dopamine, he would be fine until he did the activity. Now, the specific student only did activities for maybe 30 seconds, maybe a minute. I would give him, this is one-on-one setting, I would give him a simple question like, find, you know, the picture of yourself, find the picture of your mom. He would find it. I would give him that 25 seconds of Phineas and Ferb. So it was a lot of back and forth for that student. Anyways, there is so many different types of reinforcers that you can use with your students in special education. It's going to take time and a lot of research for you to kind of find what interests and likes for every specific student. I will link again those preference assessments that really help in the beginning of the year or when you get brand new students to help you hone in on what they like and what they don't like. So I really hope this extended list sparks some new ideas for your classroom and for your convenience. I have included links to everything I mentioned down in the show notes. So as we conclude today's episode, remember that reinforcement is a dynamic and powerful tool for creating positive learning experiences and also empowering our students. So until next time, bye-bye. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Teach, Taskbox, Inspire. I hope you've gained some tips and motivation to fuel your week ahead. If you're ready to explore more strategies for empowering your students as independent learners, be sure to dive into my free training at chalkboardsuperhero.com/training. And don't keep all this knowledge to yourself. Share this episode with your special education teacher friends who could use some motivation and inspiration. One more thing before you go. If you're finding this podcast helpful and want to show support, head to Apple Podcasts and leave your rating and review. Until next time, keep teaching, taskboxing, and inspiring.